Congress. This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's California Politics. Today we're about to speak to Anna Meyer, who's the project manager for Health Vote at the Center for Governmental Studies in Los Angeles. Welcome to Utopia Media's California Politics today.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us first what the Center for Governmental Studies is.
The Center for Governmental Studies creates innovative political and media solutions to help individuals participate more effectively in their communities and governments.
Okay, and more specifically, what does Health Vote do?
The aim of Health Vote is to provide voters with facts and nonpartisan analysis regarding the health-related ballot initiatives right now for the upcoming November 8th election.
And which of the ballot initiatives are health-related?
We are covering Proposition 73, the parental notification proposition, as well as the competing drug discount initiatives 78 and 79.
Okay, I think most of what we're going to talk about is 78 and 79, but let's just talk about 73 to start with. What would Prop 73 do?
Prop 73 would create a 48-hour waiting period for any minor that wants to undergo an abortion. And it also defines abortion as causing the death of an unborn child, a child conceived but not yet born. So those are the two main things that 73 would do.
Okay, before we talk about its financing and your evaluation of that, the first provision seems pretty straightforward. It would require minors to notify their parents or guardians before they had an abortion. Mm-hmm. What about that second provision about definitions? What's the significance of that in that measure or more broadly?
Well, Proposition 73 is a constitutional amendment, and some opponents of the measure say that while the measure says that this particular definition of abortion is only for this particular initiative,
right,
it would still be in the California Constitution, and future judicial decisions could be potentially based on this definition, or it could at least be a beginning toward defining abortion as this, the death of an unborn child in the California Constitution.
Are the proponents of this initiative emphasizing that part of it, or is that pretty much a stealth provision in this?
Well, I don't know if I would say it's a stealth provision, but I haven't heard anything from the proponents' side about this at all.
Okay, and who are the main proponents here?
The main proponents are individuals mostly. The top three are James Holman, Don Sebastiani, a former California Assembly member and a winemaker, and Tom Monahan, who founded Domino's Pizza.
If the proponents got together, they could provide pizza and wine for themselves and their supporters. And how much money have they put together in support of Prop 73?
Supporters have contributed $1.2 million and spent $1.1 million.
Okay, and how about the opponents? What groups or individuals are opposing Prop 73?
Planned Parenthood is the main opponent of 73. Various branches of Planned Parenthood around the state, including Marmonte, San Diego, etc. And they have collected $1.7 million and spent $1.1 million. And these data are as of September 29th.
Okay. And has either side or both sides done much in the way of advertising and campaigning that you've been able to evaluate for its truthfulness?
They haven't done any broadcast advertising, but I understand that the Prop 73 proponents have done some print ads, as James Holman is the owner or publisher of several publications in California.
Okay. So. Now, before we talk, we could talk about it in terms of those ads, but also for 78 and 79. What are the procedures and criteria that you use in evaluating the truthfulness or misleadingness of the campaigns and the campaign materials that are used? And do you have some special terms of art that you use to categorize the truthfulness or the misleadingness of the media in the campaign?
We do. I guess true and false statements are pretty easy to characterize as true and false. The definition of those are relatively uncontested. But as it turns out, the majority of the statements in the ads can be characterized as misleading in one way or another. And the reason that we call them misleading is that if if a statement can be understood as true from one perspective and false from another, and not necessarily one or the other, it's not necessarily true or false, all things considered, then we would characterize it as misleading or at least in need of further explanation.
Do you find that that one degree of misleadingness or another is present in a lot of the campaign material?
There are several misleading statements made in ads, yes.
Okay, and that's essentially that's essentially done by making a statement which on its face is true, but it's being construed in a certain way without reference to the total context, which would render it misleading if that context were understood, which is essentially your job.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so with that sort of theoretical underpinning in place, let's talk about Prop 78 and 70. Oh, but before we go on to 78 and 79, what are the prospects on 73? What do the polls say is likely to happen?
Voters are 45-45, according to the most recent field poll. So there are 10% of likely voters that are undecided towards Prop 73.
So the final decision is still really up in the air.
Absolutely.
As a even more general context of all this, what do you understand from either polls or your own work about the turnout that's expected for this election? Is it going to be as low as usual, lower than usual, or higher?
It's difficult to say with a special election. There have only been a few in California history.
Right.
And turnout has traditionally been lower for special elections. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a relatively high profile, of course, being
right.
governor, and a lot of these propositions are his,
right.
Which may attract voters, and there may be high propensity voters, voters that typically go to the poll that are frustrated with the special election
right.
that may not go. So all things considered, it's difficult to predict.
Okay.
I would say that voters can probably expect relatively low turnout, though.
Okay, which will mean a small percentage of the voters will be making the decision.
Right.
Okay. Prop 78 and 79 are both drug discount propositions. What are the differences between them substantively?
Well, both would provide prescription drug discounts, although that's about where the similarities end. Proposition 78 would provide discounts to Californians with incomes under 3 times the federal poverty level.
Well, and what is that in practice? About?
Well, it would cover about 4 to 6 million Californians.
Okay.
And in practice, that's about, for an individual, for example, that would be about $28,710, or say a family of four, that would be about $58,000 a year.
So families making less than about $60,000 would be eligible?
Basically, yes. You couldn't have public or private drug coverage within the last 3 months.
So if you have any drug coverage at all, you're not eligible?
Right.
Okay, within the last 3 months.
Right.
Okay. And what about Prop 79? What would it do, and who'd be covered?
Well, Prop 79 would cover individuals with incomes up to 4 times the federal poverty level, and this actually turned out to be an estimated 8 to 10 million Californians.
Okay, or about twice as many as under Prop 78.
Yes.
Approximately. Okay. All right. And what are the substance of the programs as they apply to these different 4 million or 8 million people?
Well, the population that would be eligible for the discounts could apply for a card under either program and go into a pharmacy that participates in the discount program. And then the available discounts would be, under Proposition 78, they would be from drug companies that voluntarily provided the discounts on drugs of the drug company's choosing. So voters may find, or eligible Californians may find, that there are some discounts on some of the drugs that they purchase, or they may find that there are none, depending on which drugs get discounted and which drugs those particular Californians consume.
So Prop 78 could. It's indeterminate under the terms that it sets out that people who fall into the category of having low enough incomes and not having drug coverage might get some discounts, or it's completely conceivable within the law, as Prop 78 would institute it, that they would receive no discounts.
That's right.
Okay. And what about Prop 79?
Prop 79, drug company participation is still technically voluntary, although the measure involves something called the Medi-Cal hammer, which means that Prop 79 would allow the state to bar drug companies that do not negotiate sufficient discounts to the program, and they would bar those companies from selling drugs through Medi-Cal, or contracting with Medi-Cal, rather, which is a $4 billion prescription drug market, so that's quite a hammer.
And who or what would decide whether or not the drug companies had been sufficiently forthcoming?
The California Department of Health Services would be making that decision.
Okay. What kind of groups or individuals are supporting Prop 79?
For Prop 79, the largest group in support of the measure is the Alliance for a Better California.
And who are they?
They are a coalition of educators, firefighters, school employees, health caregivers, and labor organizations.
Okay. Consumers of drugs, principally.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. And who's supporting 78?
78 supporters, all of the campaign contributions have come from drug companies.
Okay. And what are the rules when there are two competing initiatives like this? What if they, obviously, if they both fail, which would mean they each get less, is it a race between them, or do they need to get 50% to pass and then the higher totaled one controls?
That's right. They would, first of all, in order to pass at all, either initiative would need 50% of the vote, of course.
Okay.
And then if
and that's,
both
again,
pass,
again, that's 50% of the what we were all expecting would be a relatively small vote, but it's 50%
right.
of those people voting that by absentee or on that day.
That's right.
Okay.
And then if both pass, the one with the most votes would win.
Okay. Obviously, the drug companies like 78 better than 79. How important is defeating, based on what you just said, that the one with the higher vote total, if they both pass controls, how significant in each of the campaigns is a campaign to vote no on the other one?
I'm sorry?
How important to each of these campaigns, 78 and 79, is a no vote on the opposing or on the alternative? How prominently do these two initiative campaigns feature admonitions to vote against the other one?
Well, the most visible campaign has been the Proposition 78 campaign for 78 and against 79.
Right.
And the majority of the ads have actually been negative toward 79.
Are they even spending more time saying how bad 79 is than they are spending time saying how good 78 is?
Yes.
Okay. And how much money are they spending to do that?
Let's see. Estimated expenditures in favor of 78 and against 79 are approximately $2.26 million in the top five major media markets.
$2.6
million? $22.6
Oh, $22.6
Yes.
And how much money have they collected, or are they expected to spend more?
They collected for 78 and against 79 approximately a little bit more than $80 million, and that's as of September 29th.
And they've spent, you're saying, $22 million of that in major markets?
They've been spent, yep.
So does that mean they have $60 million left?
It's unclear how much they have left. It may be that they've already spent some of their other money on ads that haven't come out yet, or something like that, but it appears that they do have some extra funds to spend.
Okay, and how much money has the Yes on 79, No on 78 group spent?
They have spent on ads about $10,000 airing the ads in San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Okay, and from your evaluation of these ads, this one little ad that 79 did and all the ads that 78 has done, how honest are they?
Overall, I would say that the majority of the statements are technically true, but in need of explanation or misleading, because from one perspective they may not be true.
And how often have how many times have the Prop 78 Yes, No on 79 ads run? Have you been able to estimate?
Let's see. I can look that up for you right now. Approximately 19,578.
19,000 times?
Yes.
Okay, I think I may have seen every one of those, I think, on television. Talk about what HealthVote did exactly to analyze those ads and the criteria they applied and what their conclusions were.
Well, for each ad, we have specific criteria that we apply, no matter which side it comes from. And these criteria.
So do you or the staff there sit down and transcribe the text of all
these?
Yes,
and then we look at each statement made in the ad, and we question whether the statement considers all the relevant evidence in support of the assertion.
Right.
We also consider whether accurate assumptions underlie each statement.
Right.
And whether claims in the ad omit important and relevant information.
Okay. And do you sort of have like a rankings or a calculation algorithm that lets you judge the components and then put together a complete score for the ads?
We do not, because the majority of the statements, you know, there's such a broad spectrum of statements that can possibly be made.
Okay.
So in each case, we consider carefully the specific context of those ads based on feedback from health policy professionals, law professionals, public policy experts, and so on.
So you essentially create for yourself sort of an information universe from nonpartisan, presumably non-biased sources that tell you what the whole picture is from as close to an objective point of view as you can get it.
Yes.
And then you compare, and that's the context in which you consider the completeness or the misleadingness of the statements made by the commercials.
Yes.
Okay. And I guess we can't really, you can't very really say much about what's been going on in the Pro 79 side because they really haven't done much. But what about the Yes on 78, No on 79 side? What's been your overall evaluation of the honesty or misleadingness of their ads?
Well, we don't have a tally, unfortunately, of the truth or misleading or falsity of each ad statement. But as I said before, I believe most of the statements have been true, but in need of some more context in order to be fully understood by anyone viewing the ad.
Okay, now is it the mission of HealthVote to provide that context for voters?
Well, it's very important. The whole aim of HealthVote is to help people in making critical health policy decisions through the initiative process, or to provide information to the media so that they can help people make such decisions.
And how has that been working out? How much has media, apart from Utopia Media's California Politics Day, availed itself of your perspective?
Well, several media outlets have been using HealthVote as a resource. We've been getting a lot of positive feedback in that respect. And there have been several articles that cover both sides in a relatively neutral fashion. So I think it's been pretty effective overall, although I think media outlets try to keep that neutral perspective on their own as well.
Does HealthVote have its own resources to get its message out, or do you have to rely on other media outlets to do that for you?
Well, we do have a weekly update that you can sign up for on our website.
And how do people get to the website?
If you can go to www.healthvote.org, and on the upper bar on the right-hand side, there's an updates button you can click, and on that screen you will see a place to enter your email. And we will send you weekly updates until the election and probably one after the election, just to keep you updated on which measures actually pass.
Okay. What do you see overall as the role then of HealthVote in the political process on these health initiatives?
We believe that there are a lot of important health policy decisions getting made through the initiative process, and we hope that HealthVote is a way to provide nonpartisan information so that people can come to conclusions about these initiatives on their own rather than relying on the proponents or opponents of each initiative.
Okay, and give us one more time the URL that people can use to get in touch with or sign up for the mailing list from HealthVote.
Healthvote.org, you can find at www.healthvote.org.
All right. O-R-G. All right, ORG. Thank you very much for talking to us today and for your work in creating a more information-positive political environment.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.